Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening and a warm welcome to week three of the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I am your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show, and I hope everyone is well and staying safe. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all of the competitions, challenges, and content that can be found over this period. As always, if you have any questions or would like a shout out, as always, pop it in the chat, and if appropriate, we will get those read out. I can already see a few off to my right-hand side of the screen. Good evening to Kev, evening to Jacob. Good evening to Josh and Sarah. I hope you're all well. Paul and JLR, good evening to you all. Tonight's episode then will include an interview from head of football Thomas Bailey, an interview from general manager Rich Wassell, and we also hear off Ryan Hamilton once again speaking about some breaking news with Tamworth Ladies, along with much more. On the talk of shout-outs, a very big one to club sponsor Bradley Scott Windows, who I'm sure you've all seen by now this week, have had a huge piece of artwork put up outside their showroom by Graffiti by Title to show huge respect to Captain Tom, who as of 1 p.m. this afternoon, when I was writing the script up, had raised over £29 million for the NHS. That could well be over 30 million now. And I'd encourage anyone to have a look at the photos online or even take a walk to have a look at that. But first, we're just going to run through, as always, the different things that you can get involved in over the next couple of weeks while everything is going on. In the comments section, as always, once we get into the interviews, I'll post the links and things you need to get involved if you want to do that while listening this evening. On this day, it's still going strong on our Twitter page, which is a throwback or a memory which has occurred in the past on that day. I've noticed a couple of other clubs have actually caught on to this. Some of them do it every Thursday as a bit of a throwback Thursday. That's always interesting to keep an eye on. Also on Twitter, we've got the greatest player competition. We are into the last 16 with the semi-finals on Saturday and Sunday, along with the final this coming Tuesday. So that's the final all week today. So this time next week, we will be 2 hours away from ideally having the greatest player of all time for you. We also have the quarantine quizzes. Each week we've got 10 questions based on the club. It's week six and we've decided to throw in something a little bit different for you in there now, such as find the ball in the photo. I saw this, I think it was on Hales Owen Town on their Twitter. They had some different photos and the ball was sort of obscured and you had to guess which little pattern the ball was behind. I'll post a link for that in a minute. This afternoon, I've also had the opportunity to watch the documentary of the season, which is going to be released very shortly. So keep an eye for that on our YouTube channel. It's certainly going to be worth it. We also have our last giveaway on our social media platforms. For the last four games, we've been offering a number of prizes on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The final giveaway went live on Saturday, and your company can win an advertisement board at the ground for your company. So head over to the various social media platforms to get involved in that. This evening with Tamworth Ladies manager Ryan Hamilton, and he joins me now. Ryan, thanks for joining me once again. I hope you and your family are well. It was 2 weeks ago to the hour, actually, that you were on the show and you were explaining about how a vote took place in the Ladies League and it was decided that the season would be decided on points per game, which meant that the Ladies were actually champions. However, it's since been announced that that's not the case.
Good evening, Harry. I hope you're well. I hope your family well. I hope everyone listening is staying well. And best wishes to everyone. Like you said, 2 weeks ago it was announced that as a vote with all the clubs within the Staffordshire Girls and Ladies League, the seasons were all going to be decided on points per game, and as such, we were going to be crowned champions, which was fantastic. We had, you know, quite deserved celebrations. The girls did, obviously, very restricted at home, but everyone was happy. We were pleased with the work we've put in this season. We knew we weren't going to get the promotion, but it was nice to have a bit of recognition for our hard work this season. It was fantastic being able to tell the players and everyone being so happy. And then, I think, bang on 10 days after that, we received an email from the league announcing that the FA had been in contact with them and told them that the league themselves were wrong to hand out the title because of obviously the quite obvious null and void situation across women's football. So reluctantly, we were told that our title had been taken back off us, which from an outsider looking in, we can understand because it was made clear previously that it was going to be a null and void. But then when your league approach you and say that's not the case, as a league we've announced this and you are going to be champions, it's quite confusing as to, you know, how that mistake can be made and how it can then just be a casual email back to you letting you know that you're no longer champions and, you know, someone apologising. But that's out of our hands. It's, again, I have questions as to how that was ever allowed to happen. But you know, we can sit and moan and pick it apart, or as a team, we can sort of pick our heads up and go again. I think it was probably one of the hardest conversations as a manager in my relatively short career that I've had to have with both staff and players. And it was difficult to take on a personal note as well, but from a player's point of view, they put everything into it. They had the initial disappointment of being told that the season was null and void. Then we had the massive pick-me-up of, nope, you've been crowned champions, really well done. All the messages, all the social media stuff, everyone's been fantastic with the amount of well wishes and fans and everything like that. It was fantastic. And the girls were over the moon. To then be told 10 days later in an email in an evening that that's all been taken away was hard to put across to the players. Luckily, we've got an absolutely fantastic bunch and they've, you know, I wouldn't say they've taken it well, but they've accepted it and they know, just like us, that there's nothing that as a team, as a management setup, as a club even, that we can do about it. So it's one of those things, we take it and now we move on. And for us, we just need to make sure that we regroup and we do it again next year and there's no question about it then.
That sort of leads me on to my next question, really. I'm sure, you know, you and the rest of the coaching staff are gutted, but how have the players coped? Are they, you know, all right?
Like you said, obviously myself, Danny, all the coaches and everyone involved in the ladies setup, and I think the club as a whole are very disappointed. But for us, you know, it's not about us; it's about the players. And I think like I mentioned, they're not exactly happy with the decision. I think if we hadn't been told we were champions in the first place, it was always going to be hard to swallow that we've been so good, we've been invincible this season. You know, we've scored so many goals, won so many games, been really successful and going through to a League Cup semi-final. To then be told that it was null and void was hard to take, but to then be told you're champions and then have it taken away 10 days later, yeah, over an email. I think that's what the frustrations were from the players. A number of players have sort of contacted me privately to just say that, you know, they're really disappointed with the league and how they've handled it. And, you know, it's one of them I'd like to sit here and say, like, no, you know, the league have done their best. But it's one of them. It's a mistake that shouldn't have happened. It's a mistake that, like I mentioned earlier, I have questions about, and I'm sure a lot of other people do. But the players themselves, they were frustrated when I told them. They were disappointed, but they're an absolutely fantastic bunch. The first response from pretty much every player was just, right, well, next season we're going to put this to bed. We're going to show everyone that they should have given us the title this year, and next year we're going to leave no doubts. Our captain was fantastic, Erica. She was straight on a message to me and then into everyone else saying that, you know, we're going to leave no doubt next year. Everyone's going to work harder than ever in pre-season. To be fair, the girls are still out doing their fitness work now and sticking to their fitness plans. So there's just a real, I think if anything, it's brought us closer together as a team. It's not something that any player, any coach would want to happen, but it's something that it's happened. So it's brought us closer together. So we'll take the positives from it and we'll move on and make sure that as a coaching unit and as players, we're closer than ever, and that next season we make sure that we put this league to bed once and for all.
Do you think that this is the final decision now and there's going to be no going back? Because there's still not been any news on the first couple of steps of the ladies' pyramid.
I mean, I can't see there being any going back at our level, but I do have questions, same as in the men's game, as to how everything else happens. So step 1 to 3 of the women's game, if they're going to promote and relegate there, then what happens at step 4 and then 5 and then so on and so on. So I think until the FA sort of come out, similar to the men's game, what they're going to do from Premier League right down to the national leagues, what they're going to do in terms of promotions, relegations, how the seasons are going to be decided, then I think we're all sort of left in a bit of a question. For me, if you've null and voided all of this, then you have to do the top end as well. But I can't see that because there's too much money involved from the FA's point of view, and they don't want the legal battles with obviously teams that have got millions of pounds in the Premier League and that. But if they're going to accept that and do points per game in the Premier League and League One, League Two, etc., then for me, they really should have done it at all levels, be it male or female. I think if you're going to say to step 1 and 2 non-league that they can have promotions and relegations, if that is the case, then how is that fair for one league below to have the same situation? I think the FA's decision to put the whole football on hold was absolutely correct. It should have been happened. But for me, whatever decision is made from the top should have gone all the way down to the bottom, and that decision has not been made yet. So for me, null and void in all the seasons so far for male and female was a decision that was made too early. So I think we'll see, but I almost hope the decision is sort of final now and we can just move on and put things to bed rather than have more weeks of we go over and go over things. But it's out of our hands. Yeah. Whatever happens.
So finally, to finish on, where do you go from here? What are the next steps for yourself and the team?
I think myself and the team, we've always been close contact since sort of football was put on hold for a while. So we've all made it clear what we want to do next season. Obviously, for the club, it's fantastic as well. We're obviously having a development ladies team next year. We're having an under-18s. So we're looking to bridge that gap between the juniors and the seniors. And that's something that I'm going to be quite hands-on with as well. I'm going to be involved in the under-18s and with Rich Wassell as well, the general manager. He's going to be getting involved in that. So we're doing what we said we wanted to do this time last year. We're still growing the female sector of the club. We're still giving more local players an opportunity to come and play for Tamworth, get involved in football. But from a first team point of view, as I mentioned earlier, we're just going to be making sure that as a management group, we're putting in as much as we can. And for the players, they're working harder than ever. We're going to make sure that you know, we keep everyone positive. The girls, like I've mentioned, they really are fantastic and they're putting everything into it. They're out doing their pre-season plans. They're out keeping fit. They're out doing technical work. They're asking questions. They're chatting to each other. I don't know how much, but literally, they're always chatting to each other. It's honestly the best group to be involved with. So for us, we just make sure that we prepare better than ever. We hopefully put on a good show again next year and we win the league next year and get to where we want to be just a year later than planned. But we keep positive. We keep moving on. And most importantly, we just hope that all of our players, families and everyone listening is going to be safe and well, and we can get back to some sort of football soon.
Ryan, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me again. It's been a pleasure. So far then, we've heard from Andrew Damnition and Gary Smith about the season being written off as null and void at steps 3 to 7. Therefore, tonight we'll hear from the last of the management trio, Thomas Bailey. Tom, thank you for joining me. I hope you and your family are well. Tom, I'm sure everyone is well aware by now about the FA's decision and their various legal challenges and the various legal challenges that are currently ongoing. In a statement this week, however, Bradford Park Avenue have stated that South Shields are contesting, but if they're going to relegate us, there'd be legal challenge from us. So it's almost like there's no winning. You've got people in the leagues above threatening legal action if they go down, and people in our tier that are threatening legal action if they don't go up. So it's almost like there's no winning. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, potentially there's no winning for people, but we all know the conference, the Football League need an extra team because of Bury. We all know the Conference Prem needs an extra team. We all know the Conference North and South want to go to 24 teams. And, you know, realistically speaking, I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions on all of what's gone on, but for 90% of the teams in football, in non-league, it doesn't actually make any difference to them. If the FA would null and void the league and say no relegation, but we're still going to try and work out promotion. I totally get teams at the top saying we should have been promoted, and I actually do understand teams at the bottom saying we could have got out of this. I totally understand it. So why don't the FA just say there's going to be no relegation, we're going to promote either points per game, or we'll do a playoff at some point, we'll get all the leagues up to the level how they're meant to be with the amount of teams, and then next season we'll relegate extra teams if need be to bring it all back in line. I think they've made it harder than it needs to be, but I think that's sometimes what you get when people look at spreadsheets rather than the real world, unfortunately. I think they've made a complete and utter hash of it, where if they just actually said no relegation, promotion in whatever format, I think most teams would be happy because, you know, being honest, if you're mid-table at the moment, you probably, what's the point of coming back?
Yeah.
You know, just to finish off the games. If you're down at the bottom, then you should have. I was gonna say they should have tried harder when we were all playing initially. But what I would say is that, you know, there is chances people can get out of it. But you know, we're looking at teams that haven't won games in 20 games, or they've won one game in 20 games, and they're coming out with statements, silly statements, saying we were going to get out of this.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I believe you.
So overall then, you're sort of saying that the FA haven't really made the right decision. Do you think that the decisions that they have made, they've maybe done them a little bit too early?
I think there was a pressure on them to do something for non-league because, especially because it hasn't got the money that people say it's got and everything, and it certainly hasn't got the money of the Football League. But have they done it too early? I don't know. I think what they could have done, as I said, they could have just simply said no relegation, and what we'll do is we'll look at a points per game or a playoff for the top five teams, a playoff, that they could have done it within a week once it's safe to go back to do so, and then we go from there. And I think that would appease most people. You know, obviously, you're giving people an opinion that are 15th in the table. And the 15th in the table and best rule in the world, they've probably not had a lot to play for since Christmas. So they're sitting there going, well, it should all be null and void.
Yeah.
Sometimes if the shoe was on the other foot, I'll guarantee you a lot of them would think very, very differently. And if it happens again, which obviously we all hope it don't, then what these people have to realise is whatever they're voting for now, this could repeat itself.
Yeah.
And the shoe might be on the other foot. And I just think that they should have done points per game. When it's safe, had a playoff, which could have been done within a week, even if you'd done that in July, and then no relegation, I think everyone would have been quite happy. But like I say, most clubs, Bradford Park Avenue and Redditch and everything else, they're all clearly worried about getting relegated. So I totally understand that. So I don't understand why the FA just haven't taken that bit out of the plans.
Yeah, because it could be seen as an easy way out, I suppose.
Well, a lot of it's an easy way out, and you know, and that's what a lot of people look for. They look for easy way out. They look to, you know, as they say, a lot of people have slopey shoulders, and they look to blame everyone else in life, unfortunately. And what you've got is here. How they've done it is ridiculous. I think they could have let it go a bit longer. They could have done it. But what happens to the conference now? I mean, there's teams in the conference struggling to survive. There's teams in the conference that don't meet the ground grading. the conference gave them an extra 3 or 4 months to do the groundgrading. Why? They were still playing in the middle of March. Groundgrading had to be done by the end of March, so why wasn't it done?
Yeah.
They had 2 weeks left, but instead they said, well, we'll give you till July. What happens to these clubs in July that don't make the groundgrading and then are going to get relegated? Surely they've got to replace them with somebody. What happens to the clubs that unfortunately aren't going to be here anymore? I think they've got massive problems on their hands, to be honest. I totally understand that. I speak with the South Shields chairman quite a bit, and the FA are going to get hit no matter what we do here, unfortunately. But then they should have, you know, they should have taken things into account, and you know, if they're allowing Football League to carry on, and you know, and all that, you know, my question would be, are they saying money is more important than health then?
Yeah.
You know, they're really, really, you know, if you believe what you read when they're saying step one budget, the average step one budget is, I read yesterday, is £30,000 a week. Right, so are they actually saying, and it's all about replacing Bury in the Football League, so are they actually saying that money comes before health? You know, that's a question they should answer, because the only ones that have penalised really are the teams that had an opportunity. The only ones that got anything from it are those who are going to be relegated anyway. They've got a reprieve, and you know, the FA will never win. That's a fact. But then they don't help themselves either. So, you know, I'm not surprised.
I think what's going to be interesting is to see what the decision they make on the leagues higher up on the Premier League and what they decide to do on that. And
I think if they come out in the league, non-league, sorry, step one, step two, and start to do points per game, being honest, I think all hell's going to break loose. I think there's going to be lawsuits left, right, and centre. You know, I think the only way the FA will be hoping and praying at the moment that step one and step two vote for null and void. Because if it doesn't, it opens up a huge can of worms. All because you're higher up the pyramid, all because you've got more money than someone else, don't mean you escape the rules, and it don't mean you're subject to a different set of rules. You know, and that's the way it is. So I think the FA are probably praying that step one and step two at the moment are going to go null and void. Otherwise, they've got a very busy summer.
Yeah. So am I right in thinking that step one and two are having a vote at the minute to decide whether to finish the league on points per game or whether to finish it as null and void?
Yeah, well, I think I speak to a few, again, conference chairmen, and they're not really sure what they're being asked to do, some of them, you know, to be perfectly honest. They think the information's been very sparse. They're getting asked to do null and void, which they've done, and then they're getting asked to decide on points per game, decide whether they come back in July and maybe do some playoffs, whether they go for relegation or don't go for relegation. How can you relegate from step two without promoting from step three? I don't know how you manage that one. I think it's a massive can of worms at the moment, and I think it's going to rumble on for some while. As I say, the FA will be praying that step one and two go null and void and scrap it, and if they have, then that's the way it is, because everybody wants is to be treated the same. So what makes step two any more special than step five? You know, everyone's putting, you know, their time and their effort, and all the volunteers and all the chairmen. It don't matter whether you're, you know, best in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're at step two, step one, step six. You know, there's a lot of people out there put a lot of time and effort into this, and for them to say, well, we're not really going to really bother, and we're going to treat step three down separately to step one and two. Well, what's the reasons behind that? Because they can't even use the size of clubs or something, because there's some very big clubs at step three. There's some bigger clubs at step four than there is at step three. It's an absolute minefield, and I think they've got a real job on their hands. And then you look at what people are saying, is there going to be a restructure of the leagues in the summer? This is their chance. This is their chance. You know, we all know they want step one to become League Two. They want a League Two North and South. So step one will become League Two North or League Two South, with step two being the other one. And then effectively step two becomes the feeder league into the Football League.
Yeah.
Because the money at step one is just unbelievable. You know, they're in a planet of their own. You know, it's absolutely staggering. And I think, like I say, if they do that restructure, again, they've got to move all these different clubs around. And I go back to my previous point. What happens if leagues don't meet? clubs don't meet ground grading in July, what happens? They haven't really. The problem is they haven't really thought about it.
Yeah.
And the problem, I think, the problem they've got is they're going to try and appease, but you're never going to appease everybody, and I totally understand that. But also, if they'd done the no relegation, unless your ground grading didn't make the required level, then it wouldn't affect 90% of the teams in the league. So they're probably not really that bothered, to be honest. You know, so yeah, it's difficult. I mean, it's difficult. We're all in limbo at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah.
We don't know whether, you know, nobody really knows where they are. Nobody knows what the situation is. But, and I also agree with some people. You know, some people have read comments, people saying people shouldn't be bothered about football because, you know, there's obviously bad things going on in the world. And
yeah.
I totally get that. I really do. But, you know, people need an escape at times, and football and many other sports are an escape for people from the real world, from the hard graft of work and home or whatever. And it's a very emotional subject, football. And I understand that people say there's worse things going on, and there definitely is worse things going on in the world. But at some point, we will all have to come back, whether that's in business or in pleasure, because at some point, the world's got to start moving again. Not everybody can be sitting at home. The world has got to start moving. Businesses have to start moving. So at some point, we're all going to have to come back. So no one's saying that the FA have to make a decision even in April or in May. But at some point, normality, in whatever form it will be, will return.
And I suppose the trouble is, when that normality does return, if you like, there are going to be clubs that sadly probably won't be there still.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all know that football clubs, a lot of football clubs, live well beyond their means. I mean, I know clubs have to submit their financial information to the league. And, you know, I won't say what the figure is, but if the figure in step three and step four is so many millions of pounds in debt, these clubs are, you know, I struggle to see how they'll even play again. And, you know, we all know a lot of clubs are going for that little trophy at the end of it, and they simply can't sustain what they're trying to do. So maybe because of a situation like this, some clubs might actually say, well, I don't want to be at step one. I want to be at step two now because I simply can't afford it. We haven't got the revenue. I think there's a real awakening coming for football for the next year or two.
So just going off that now then, I think the hardest thing for me, I know, and a few other fans is last weekend we could have been lifting the trophy. The season has had so many highs and a few lows as well. What would you say your best moment has been from your first season at Tamworth?
I think there's been lots of good moments, and what I'd fully say is that obviously for the input or whatever I've really enjoyed it. You know, the people have obviously made me feel welcome and everything else. And it's you know, it's been really good, and in the board here, you know, there's a few people on that board that are really nice and level-headed people. So yeah, it's been great in that sense. The highs, there's quite a few highs. Obviously, beating, you know, I'm always one that prefers to do better in the leagues, and that's what the main focus was on. But you know, the beating of the Roystons in there, and some our mannerism and how we did beat teams was very pleasing to see. I thought we obviously played the ball very well, and you know, we had a real good group of players. Downside, I mean, for me, is it probably the Darlington, I think, in the FA Cup. That was a bit we were disappointing that day. I thought we weren't very good. And also the other one is probably the 3-3 draw against Nuneaton, you know. We were well on top until the final part, and then, you know, being honest, I think if the game had gone on for another 5 or 10 minutes, we'd have got beat. It was one of those days to get out of there. But there's been lots of highs and you know, lots of good things, and like I say, you know, for lots of people it does give them the respite from you know, tough times away from it. So yeah, there's been many good things.
So looking forward now then, is there actually much that can be done in preparation or not really?
No, I mean, you know, not really. I mean, you know, obviously, whilst it looks like we know what league we'll be in, that's not guaranteed at the moment. Player-wise, you know, other clubs seem to think they can go and try and sign all your players, but whether the which is an interesting point there, you know, which I found quite funny. But they seem to be trying to sign our players for a fictitious league and a fictitious start date. So, you know, if that's how they want to do things, then fair play to them for that. Very odd, but we just got to bide our time. I mean, you know, players will. No, they want to be settled. We've obviously been in contact with all the squad, and you know, obviously a vast majority of the squad we do want to stay. You know, I'm sure one or two will go, but that's just the way things are. But in the main, we want the vast majority of the squad to stay. In the main, a vast majority of the squad have asked to stay. So yeah, we're just biding our time. We're, you know, I've really only seriously spoken, you know, to one player personally. I mean, I'll be honest, I sent a message to a couple of players and I just simply said, I'm interested in talking to you for next season, but at the moment when I don't know where it is, don't know where we're at, and there's not really a lot to discuss. And it's not as if they can go off and sign for someone else, is it? You know? I've only really seriously probably spoke to one player, and the rest I've sort of said, look, obviously when it's all safe to do so, etc., I wouldn't mind having a conversation. But when that will be, then, you know, that's for other people to decide. And, you know, we've got to try and all get our sort of all our work lives back on order first.
Yeah, we'll just have to see where things take us to in the months ahead. Is there anything else you want to add just before we finish up?
No, I mean, it's just, it's obviously been a good, you know, good season. I'm disappointed it ended, but, you know, as I say, there is other things in the world going on. There's met some fantastic people, you know, and, you know, I firmly believe we'd have won the league. You know, I know there's, you know, I do chuckle at myself when I read some comments that, they wouldn't have won it, someone else would have. We were the best points per game over the whole of Step 3. We beat, if Royston were going to win the league, fair enough, but we beat them home and away. And they still had some tough games to play as well. Peterborough Sports have had a fantastic season, of course they have, but I think a couple of games in hand, we'd have done that. And I mean, so, yeah, I think we'd have won the league, and, you know, we've just got to try and do it all again now, depending what league we're in. So, no, that situation is what it is. It's out of our control. We've just got to make the best of it, what we can. But, no, at the moment, the main objective for people is just to try and stay well and stay safe and at home. And hopefully we get to come out of it the other end and build it all back up again.
Well, thanks, Tom, for talking to me. It's been a pleasure. That was head of football Tom Bailey speaking to me there over the weekend. Then it's good to see a lot of you in the chat room. I've just dropped the link for the quarantine quiz once again. You'll have to pop your scores in the chat once you've had a go at that. You heard there Tom discussing a vote between step one and step two. We're still waiting for that decision, and hopefully by this sort of time next week, we will have that information, the result of that. BBC Sport presenter Ollie Bayliss is currently hosting a poll on Twitter based on what people want the clubs at step one and two of non-league to vote for. I've got those up in front of me now. It got posted at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, and since then, over 1,500 people have got involved. 36% have said expunge all results. 20% have says finish the season using current positions. And 44% has said use mathematical formula or points per game to finish the season. So it will be really interesting to see where this goes to. Coming up on next week's show, we are hoping to see the introduction of our head-to-head player game show. More on that next week, along with some Lambs Legend interviews, which is new for next week. A few of you have asked where you can find old podcasts. So, for example, last week's podcast and stuff like that. You can find those on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on Podbean. Just search Lambs Media, and you can listen to all three, including this one, pretty much as soon as we go off air. But for now, I have one last interview of the evening, and this time it's from General Manager Rich Wassell, who I spoke to this afternoon. Rich, thank you for joining me. I hope you and your family are well during these times. Rich, it's been around a year now since you took on the role of General Manager at Tamworth Football Club. I bet when you took on the role this time last year, you didn't expect to be in this sort of situation.
How you doing, mate? You okay? Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I hope, obviously, you and your family are well also. It's one of those scenarios, you know, it's something that you can't plan for. You know, no one can determine this sort of situation or scenario. You know, it's probably something that we're never going to experience again. You know, for me, my personal opinion on the matter, and a lot of people will say it's down to obviously where Tamworth were and everything else like that. But, you know, for me, it's got to go on a points-per-game basis in a situation like this. You know, if you're 75% to 80% of the way through the season and you're bottom of the league, you deserve to be bottom of the league.
Yeah.
You know? If you're mid-table, you deserve to be mid-table. If you're top of the league, you deserve to be top of the league. But, you know, I think a lot, speaking to a lot of people over the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are pointing fingers at the FA. And I agree to an extent, you know, but I'd also question people at FIFA, you know, and go a little bit higher than that. You know, there's a lot of people that are on big money to make big decisions. But, you know, we've seen this afternoon that the French leagues have cancelled all their pro leagues.
Yeah.
And they've said that there's not going to be any sporting events whatsoever, even behind closed doors, until at least September. You know, and we saw the Eredivisie do exactly the same the other day. So, you know, what makes people think that the Premier League or the EFL are more important than, you know,
what's going on?
Leagues in every other country around the world, really. Hopefully it's something that we don't have to deal with again. Hopefully we can, you know, people can make a clear decision sooner rather than later, really, so everyone can start planning ahead and, you know, seeing where we go from here.
Yeah, we've heard about how COVID-19 has affected the men's and the ladies' first team, but can you just sort of give us an insight into sort of how that's had how it's all had a knock-on effect on the club as a whole?
Yeah, no, of course. I listened to the interviews over the last couple of weeks with first team staff, Jamie and Ryan as well from the development squad and the ladies. So just keeping it on a football specific basis, obviously, as a club, the first team would be top of the league on a points per game basis. The ladies, top of the league on a points per game basis. They actually got 40 points from 42 points available within the league. The development squad would be top on points per game, 31 points from a possible 33. We've got three scholar teams. One of them would be second on points per game. But there's a team, Racing Club Warwick, that they've not played at all this season, that we've actually got 100% record against over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, you could argue and say that, you know, you're looking at it, and had the season continued, they'd be in pole position.
Yeah, very good
there.
Position.
And then we've got two teams in the AOC College League also. Both teams played 9-1-9, so 100% records across both of them. We've had, I think there's four academy teams that would have won league titles, as well as our senior teams, if it was going on a points-per-game basis. We've had, I think there was three academy teams in cup finals and six teams across the club in semi-finals, including the first team and also the ladies' team as well. So from a footballing perspective, you know, it's not just the first team or not just the ladies. And, you know, you look at it from the whole academy perspective. You know, Mike Fowler, as a head of youth and the academy management and scholar staff around that, have done a fantastic job on the pitch this season. Off the pitch, you know, we're in a position probably more financially better than a lot of clubs at our level with the 3G pitch that we can hire out. But obviously in times like this, we've got no pitch bookings. We've had to cancel all bookings throughout the summer because we don't know where we stand with those. We've got no function room hire or facility room hire. And it's making it, obviously, I think everyone's in the same boat, the ability to be able to go and source new sponsors for next season, because every business is going to be in exactly the same position. Mm-hmm. So it's not a great position to be in, but it's the same for everyone.
I don't know to what extent you'll be able to answer this, just going back to the football a minute. You touched on there a lot of cup competitions, and I can't remember off the top of my head what the one of the senior cup competitions the first team were still in. What's been set?
Birmingham.
The Birmingham.
So that would have been Rushall Olympic in the semi final.
Have they just been put on pause, or has much really been said about any of the cups?
Not a great deal, to be honest, mate. Obviously, the FA made the decision to cancel all grassroots football and football at certain levels, but it's a bit strange. I keep getting emails from different leagues asking if we want to vote on whether we want to go points per game or null and void. And, you know, surely the FA's decision on everything being null and void is everything's null and void.
Yeah, it needs to be across the board, yeah.
From my understanding, all county competitions are cancelled. I know there was talk of some leagues at the junior level trying to continue with cups when the new season starts, but you know, I think it just makes it more messy than what it actually is. So you know, credit to those, you know, where credit's due, for those that have got to semi-finals and cup finals, and you know. Unfortunately, they can't have their big day out and you know, that special occasion, but it is what it is.
When you took on the role, you said that you wanted to add a modern touch to the club. Do you feel that you've been achieving that aim?
I think it's something that's going to be a work in progress. You know, the start of this season, we tried to push on having more information on the website and social media platforms. We introduced Instagram and we introduced Snapchat, and I know obviously yourself and the rest of the media team do a fantastic job with keeping people up to date with everything that's going on, and you know, during these times as well, doing competitions and everything else. So from a social media website perspective, obviously we're trying to do as best as we can and keep people up to date with those. We are in talks with a company about getting a new website. I know there's been a lot of concerns over the last couple of years with how slow it is or how difficult it is to navigate. So again, that's going to be another step in the right direction with regards to modernising everything. Last season, we also introduced the girls sector of the club. So we introduced the ladies team and three girls teams. Next season, we're actually looking to, or we've actually entered a second senior team. Which will serve a similar purpose to the development squad from a boys' perspective, whereby you know we can get 16, 17-year-olds the opportunity to play senior football. And then we're also looking to introduce two new junior teams within the girls' sector as well. I think for us, you know, from a facility perspective, there's things that we want to improve, but you know, a lot of it comes down to finances and everything else. But I think from a club perspective, we're looking at, you know, what aren't we doing that other clubs might be doing? And also what are things that nobody else is doing that we could do? You know, let's try and actually get ahead of the game. I think obviously setting up the academy and everything, obviously Mike Fowler was sort of spearheaded that. So you've only got to look back 5-6 years. Tamworth had one team, and that was the first team. You know, we're looking to go into next season with 27 teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking to a few people, we're actually the biggest club in the area in terms of the amount of teams that we've got. And we don't want to, you know, ruin it by just adding teams for the sake of it. You know, the quality's still got to be there. It's not just a quantity basis, you know, and I think we're doing that at the moment, you know, but in future years, can we can we mirror the girls and the boys with regards to having under sevens all the way through girls scholarship program into your senior squads, and you know, let's start getting some success stories from that. You know, I know speaking to you prior to going live, we were chatting about obviously the work that Mike Fowler's doing with the scholars and the academy. I was chatting to Mike the other day. Do you want to have a guess as to how many players we've had appear for the first team that have either come through the academy scholars or 21s?
Is that this season or just as a whole?
As a whole, so for the last 4 years since we set up the academy and the scholar program.
How many of them have played in the first team?
Yeah, I'll let you have a guess.
I'm going to say 50.
50, close.
Yeah.
41. And obviously, there was a few players that we were looking at giving those opportunities to before all of this sort of stopped us doing so. And then you look at some of the names in there, there's players that, you know, have played not only once, but, you know, on a regular basis. So, you know, you look at it from 5 years ago and we're saying, right, how are we going to get the next talented players from the local area through to the first team? You know, we're actually doing that. And I think there's a lot of people that don't know that.
Yeah, it is.
In that sense. So, you know, that's a crazy number. You know, and you look at whether that be the pro game or non-league, anywhere else across the country, you know, there's not many teams, if any, that can say they've had over 40 players come through the system into the first team.
It's quite a remarkable number. And everyone involved in that, the club certainly should be proud. When you last did an interview with Lambs Media, you said that you wanted to achieve the Standard Charter. Could you just go into that a little bit more detail, explain that what that is and what the club had to do to achieve that?
Yeah. So the Charter Standards sort of split into a couple of different categories. Basically, the whole idea of it is the FA want to improve the standard of football and the way that clubs run and everything else across the country. So we've actually been awarded the Charter Standard Development Club, which is the second best one. So the community club's the highest one that you can actually achieve. So basically with the Charter Standard, there's certain accreditations that you've got to meet and things like that. So you've got to have a certain amount of staff that have got certain coaching qualifications and at certain levels. All of those members of staff have got to have up-to-date DBSs and CRCs, whichever one you want to refer to that as. Safeguarding qualifications, first aid qualifications. As a club, you've got to have a development plan as to, you know, how you're going to increase participation in the game over the next 3 to 5 years. You have to also have what they call health checks every 6 months. So it's a bit like going to the dentist. So you've got to try and keep on top of all of those. You know, you've got people's qualifications expiring at certain levels because at certain times throughout the season, because obviously it depends on when you've done your qualification and how long they sort of last. So something that the club can be, you know, hugely proud of. We're probably only one or two parts of the criteria off getting the community status, so that's going to be the plan over the next couple of years. But obviously Emma Whitehouse as child welfare officer for the club has done a fantastic job with that, and you know, there's benefits that come with it as well. You know, there's different levels of funding available to the club for different pieces of equipment and things like that. You can get additional resources and support from the county FA because you're going above and beyond and, you know, increasing your standards.
That's really interesting to learn about. And hopefully we'll be able to see us getting that top one in the next couple of years ahead. Is there anything else you want to add to the fans or anything before we finish up?
Yeah, you know, massive thank you to everybody that supported this year. You know, whether people have been to one game, whether they've been to 20 games, whether they've bought something from the club shop, whether they've come and bought a drink in the bar, you know, everything helps, you know, even more so when we come back. So a massive thank you to everyone for their support this season. We're hopefully, obviously, we can start where we left off, and we can, you know, have a similar, well, not a similar outcome. We don't want to do this again. but be in a similar position from a league perspective, this time next season, and get the club back to where we want to be. So, you know, everybody that's listening, and you know, and all the fans, hopefully everyone stays safe, and you know, hopefully we can see everyone once it's safe to return to football.
That was Rich Wassell there. I spoke to him earlier today. Unfortunately, we are coming towards the end of tonight's show now. I hope that everyone listening has enjoyed the third of our weekly podcasts. Please share this to friends and family and any other members of your Tamworth Football Club family or anyone who you think might be interested. On next week's show, as I already touched on, we're hoping to have our first head-to-head player game show. We're also hoping, well, this is confirmed now, we've got an excellent lineup with two of Tamworth FC's legends. Two ex-players will be talking in an interview this time next week, along with many more interviews, and hopefully keeping you all up to date. Thank you very much for listening this evening then. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, stay safe, stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives.